5. City of Fairstock, Province of Malensoth, West Harchong Empire. The falling snow was so thick, no one could see more than a ship's length or two in any direction. The Earl of Corus found that less than reassuring, as Snow Lizard crept cautiously into the Fairstock roadstead. Captain Euthane had furled his sail and gone to oars as soon as the leadsman in the bow found bottom at 10 fathoms. 60 feet represented considerably more depth of water than Snow Lizard required, but only a fool, which Euthane had conclusively demonstrated he was not, took liberties with the Fairstock Channel. It measured the next best thing to 250 miles from north to south, and if most of it was easily navigable, there were other bits which were anything but, and there wasn't a lot of room to spare. At its narrowest point, which also happened to offer some of the nastiest shifting sandbanks, it was barely 14 miles wide at high water. Fairstock Bay itself was a superbly sheltered anchorage, well over 200 miles wide, but getting into it could sometimes prove tricky, especially in the middle of a snowstorm. Frankly, Corus would have preferred to lay to off the entrance of the channel until the weather cleared. Unfortunately, there was no guarantee the weather would clear any time soon, and Captain Euthane was under orders to deliver his passenger to Fairstock as quickly as possible. So he'd crept very cautiously and slowly inshore until he'd been able to run a line of soundings which let him locate himself by matching them with the depths recorded on his chart. Even after he was confident he knew where he was, however, he'd continued to proceed with a caution of which Corus had wholeheartedly approved. Not only was it distinctly possible, in these visibility conditions, that Snow Lizard wasn't really where he thought she was, but there was always the equally unpleasant possibility that they might meet another vessel head-on. The narrowness of the channel and the atrocious visibility only made that even more likely, and Philip Osgood hadn't come this far at the summons of the Council of Vicars just to get himself drowned or frozen to death.
"By the mark, 7 fathom!"
The cry floated back from the bow, oddly muffled and deadened by the falling snow, and despite his thick coat and warm gloves, Corus shivered.
"I imagine you'll be happy to get ashore, my lord," Captain Euthane remarked, and Corus turned to face him quickly.
He'd been careful not to intrude on the captain's concentration, while Euthane conned Snow Lizard cautiously up channel. It wasn't the sort of moment at which one joggled someone's elbow, he reflected. Something of his thoughts must have shown in his expression, because Euthane grinned through his beard.
"This next little bit's not all that bad, my lord," he said. "I wouldn't want to sound overconfident, but I'd say the really tricky parts are all safely past us. Not but what I imagine there was a time or two when you were less than confident we'd get this far."
"Nonsense, Captain," Corus shook his head with an answering smile. "I never doubted your seamanship or the quality of your ship and crew for a moment."
"Ah, now," Euthane shook his head, "it's kind of you to be saying so, but I'm not so sure telling a fearful lie like that is good for the health of your soul, my lord."
"If it were a lie, perhaps it wouldn't be good for my spiritual health. Since it happens to have been a completely truthful statement, however, I'm not especially concerned, Captain." Euthane chuckled, then cocked his head, listening to the leadsman's fresh announcement of the depth. He frowned thoughtfully down at the chart, obviously fixing his position afresh in his brain, and Corus watched him with the respect a professional deserved. As it happened, what he'd just said to Euthane really had been the truth. On the other hand, despite his recognition of the captain's skill and the capability of his crew, there'd been more than one moment when Corus had strongly doubted they would ever reach Fairstock. The Gulf of Dolar in winter had proved even uglier than he'd feared, and once they'd cleared the passage between Cliff Island and Whale Island,
they'd encountered a howling gale which he'd been privately certain was going to pound the low-slung, frail, shoal-draft galley bodily under. The steep, battering seas had been almost as high as the galley's mast, and at one point they'd been forced to lie to a sea anchor for 2 full days, with the pumps continuously manned. There'd been no hot food for those 2 days. Not even Euthane's cook had been able to keep his galley fire lit, and icy water had swirled ankle-deep through the Earl's cabin more than once as the ship fought for her very life. They'd survived that particular crisis after all, yet that had scarcely been the end of the foul weather, or the crises they'd faced. Snow, bad visibility, and icy rigging had only made things still worse, and Corus's respect for Euthane and his men had grown with each passing day. Despite which, he could hardly wait to get off the ship. It would have been tiresome enough to spend an entire month in such confined quarters under any circumstances. Under the conditions associated with a winter passage of the Gulf, tiresome had quickly given way to something much closer to intolerable.
Of course, it is the fact that every foot closer to Fairstock brings me that much closer to Zion and the Temple as well, he reminded himself. On the other hand, as the Archangel Bedard said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. If I get off this damned ship alive, I'll be perfectly prepared to let future problems take care of themselves.
I make it about another 3 hours to our anchorage, my lord, Euthane said, re-emerging from his contemplation of the chart. If the visibility were better, we'd probably already have a pilot boat coming alongside. As it is, I won't be so very surprised if we have to feel our way all the way in on our own. Either way, though, I think we'll have you ashore in time for supper.
I appreciate that, Captain. I doubt anyone could have taken better care of me on the passage than you have, but I trust I won't offend you if I admit I'd really like to sleep in a bed that isn't moving tonight, he grimaced. I doubt I'll get more than one night, maybe 2 if I'm really lucky, but I intend to enjoy it to the fullest.
Well, I can't say as I blame you, Euthane said. Mind you, I've never really understood why anyone prefers sleeping ashore when he's the option. Although, to be honest, back before I had my own cabin and my own cot, I felt rather differently about it, I believe. Fortunately for my sea-dog image, he grinned at his passenger again. That's been long enough ago now that my memory's none too clear.
I'm sure that for a seasoned sailor like yourself, the ship's motion is just like a mother rocking a cradle, Corus responded. Still, though, I think it's an acquired taste. And if it's all the same to you, it's one I'd just as soon not acquire.
To each his own, my lord, Euthane agreed equably.